Om Agnatipananda Sya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinuvyevacha Patidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Bali Maharaj surrenders his life, text 24. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Brahman Yam Anugrinami Tat Visha Vidinomi Aham Yat Madak Purusha Stabdo Lokam Mam Chavamanyate Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Brahmanyam Anagrinami Tadvisho Vidunamyaham Yanmadak Purusha Stabdo Lokamam Chavamanyate Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Brahmanyam Anugrinami Tadvisho Vidunomyaham Yanmadak Purusha Stabdo Lokamam Chavamanyate Sri Bhagavan Uvacha The Supreme Personality of Godhead said Brahman, O Lord Brahma Yam unto anyone to whom Anugrinami, I show my mercy. Tat, his, Visha, material opulence or riches. Vidinomi, take away. Aham, I, Yatmadak, having false prestige due to his money. Purusha, such a person. Stabda, being dull-minded. Lokam, the three worlds. Mam, cha, unto me also. Avamanyate, derides. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Lord Brahma, Because the material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad. Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. To such a person I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions. Purport, a civilization that has become godless because of material advancement and opulence is extremely dangerous. Because of great opulence, a materialist becomes so proud that he has no regard for anyone and even refuses to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The result of such a mentality is certainly very dangerous. To show special favor, the Lord sometimes makes an example of someone like Bali Maharaj, who is now bereft of all his possessions. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Brahmanyam Anugrinami Tadvisho Vidunom Yaham Yanmadak Purushastabdo Lokomam Chavamanyate. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Lord Brahma, because of material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad, thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. To such a person, I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions." Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Budaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarne. Shri Prabhupada said that there are different types of personalities according to the three modes of material nature. One type of person is actively foolish, or the first person is called lazy foolish. The second class is called active foolish. Then there is the active intelligent and lazy intelligent. Of the four classes, the best are those who are lazy and intelligent. Because that doesn't mean that they sleep all day long. They make arrangements how to sleep. Prabhupada gives the story that one king, he invited all the lazy people in his kingdom to come and get free room and board. Needless to say, that the house that he had built for such a purpose was quickly filled up with people. Everyone was claiming that they were lazy, that they should get free room and board. But it became overcrowded, so the king's ministers complained to the king that now the house is overwhelmed by citizens. So the king said, "Set the house on fire." And so the house was set on fire and everyone in the house was burning. And needless to say, they all ran out, except for two lazy people. One of the lazy persons said, "Your back is burning, roll over." And he said, "Well, your front is burning, you should roll over." So when the king heard that there were two citizens left, and they was too lazy to leave the house when it was on fire, he said, "These two are actually lazy persons. They deserve free room and board." But the lazy intelligence that we are talking about are the brahminical class who spend their time cultivating knowledge and are not very interested in material advancement. So lazy on the material platform, but very active on the spiritual platform. That is the best class of persons. And the worst class are the active foolish. Prabhupada gives the example of the monkeys in India, or especially in Vrindavan. They're very active, but they're very foolish. So because they're active foolish, therefore they're always creating some disturbance. One goes to Vrindavan, one gets a chance to see firsthand all the monkeys engaged in their monkey business. Sometimes these old people, they buy kalo, bananas, in the marketplace, and when they're walking back home, when they go by the place where the monkeys are, it's like Sevakunj, then the monkeys jump down and knock the old people over and steal the bananas. so they're worse than the juvenile delinquents on the street. But no one can arrest the monkey, nor can you chastise him. Many devotees have had their glasses stolen, for instance, or their shoes stolen, something stolen. Generally what happens when the monkey steals a shoe, he chews on it for a while, and the devotees or someone tries to offer them something in return, like a banana. So they'll chew on it for a while, and then they'll take the banana, and then they'll throw the shoe somewhere. Even Prabhupada had that experience, that his shoes were stolen by the monkeys and chewed on one time. So this is called active foolish. They're the worst class of persons, and the powerful nations in modern society are examples of active foolish societies, where huge arrangements are made for material advancement. But there's hardly any cultivation of spiritual knowledge. They have so many concoctions of what is religion. They think their conception in that, sometimes they have conceptions of God, that every one of us is God, and that by some pious activities in this world, such as feeding the squirrels or something, then you can become God in your next lifetime. In other words, you can become a controller of the universe. You can get your own universe. That they consider Jesus Christ, he's the, more or less, he's the head, right? In this universe, he came down to train people up how to take care of their own universes. They have this idea that the highest example, the highest activity is become a father and take care of a whole universe. Don't become just a father of a few children. You can become father of a whole universe. They call him Big Daddy. So this type of conception is more or less demoniac. It's completely impersonal. Thinking that the aim of life is to somehow or another keep together your own family forever and expand it more and more. They have, as I mentioned before, they have one picture, this particular religion, of Thanksgiving in heaven. And there they have the father and the mother and the sister, brother, the dog. Everyone is gathered around the table, and Jesus Christ is at the head of the table. And everyone is very happy being united in heaven. The only person who's having some difficulty is the turkey, because it has a knife in its back. Everyone else is very quite satisfied being there. The turkey wished he would have stayed back. So these contradictions are prevalent in the so-called modern religions, and what to speak of the non-religious people within the society who think that the basic principle of life is to exploit material nature to the utmost. Especially Western civilizations in America and Europe, they're very expert exploiting the forests, the water, the land, the air. Everything is being exploited to the maximum so that people can derive this sense of overlordship. So-called material enjoyment. But the result is that it creates, as Krishna says, ugra karma, horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. In order to carry on these civilizations, so many people have to work in very abominable conditions. In order to so-called enjoy the material world, people work in so many factories where the air, the noise, the whole environment is less than the mode of ignorance. People have to work drilling oil, transporting it, refining it. So many horrible activities, slaughterhouses, all meant for so-called enjoyment. But it doesn't produce any enjoyment whatsoever. It produces simply anxiety. Therefore, those countries which are a little more lazy They generally have much more peaceful populations. But nowadays they're trying to make everyone very excited about so-called material advancement. And therefore the whole world is full of people desiring to become just like what they see on television. The reality is not very enjoyable, it's full of suffering, but people are believing what they see on television. And what do they see on television? They think they'll have a good time if they can become just like a hero who's all day long he has a gun, a machine gun, and he's just drilling people full of bullets and having a good time. And the whole world is in order to do this, he's engaged in so many speculative enterprises. In other words, he's doing it for the noble cause of making money or helping others make money. And once in a while for recreation, he takes intoxication, kills a few animals, and has illicit sex. And this way, he's having a great time. And everyone's watching this, even if you go to India, you go to these huts made out of cardboard and straw, and on top of the hut, sticking out of the hut, is a TV antenna. And he's watching, you know, so many movies about these people having a great time exploiting others. And thinking, now I have a little hut, but if I can get a gun, I can make my life a success. So this is called cultivating active foolishness, and the result is that people become more and more deluded by the mode of ignorance, and they become less and less capable of understanding their identity as a spiritual being. Therefore, it is said by Queen Kunti that it is better to be put into material distress if that distress can bring one to a sane condition of life. She mentions that she herself and the Pandavas, they went through so many different types of problems. They were put into a forest fire, into a house of lack. Generally, they were put into a forest where there was a man-eater, and they were robbed of their kingdom. They were insulted in the assembly. They fought on the battle of Kurukshetra against so many opponents. So, she says that Krishna has put us into so many difficulties, but these were actually benedictions. Vipadakshantu takshasva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavata darshanam nasya apuna bhavadarshana. She says that let me see these calamities again and again, because by seeing them, we'll know, and by remembering you. In other words, when we're put into distress, Queen Kunti says, then actually the first person we remember is you. And although it's distress from the material point of view, from the spiritual point of view, it helps us become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and by such absorption, we'll no longer see our real problem, which is repeated birth and death. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri Vir Edamanak Madak Puman Naivahatya Vedatu Vai Twamakinshana Gochara. That the problems of material existence are not lack of material opulence, such as janma. And nowadays, if you have born in a Western country, you're considered to be very fortunate that you have a high birth. And Aishvarya, that is the principal wealth in this nowadays, or wealth, that is the principal opulence. That if one has money, more or less he thinks he can get anything. He can buy whatever he wants, he can arrange whatever he wants, simply by money. And Shruta, so-called learning, if one has some degrees, then he's considered to be quite learned, although he can't even understand who he is. He doesn't know where he's come from, he doesn't know where he's going, he doesn't know what the purpose of life is. But if he has some academic education, some technological expertise, then he's considered to be very learned. And Sri beauty, somehow or another, if one makes himself look beautiful, then he's considered to be opulent. Nowadays, people have so many operations. They change their nose. They change their face. They change everything. Because if one is beautiful or materially attractive, then he's considered to be quite advanced in material civilization, understanding material civilization. Therefore, especially women nowadays, it's very important for them to look beautiful. And their understanding of beauty is that they should look like a danda. They should be as thin as possible, so they shouldn't eat anything. And at the same time, the concept is you should enjoy life to the utmost, which means you should eat as much as possible. So you should not gain any weight. You should look like a danda or a pole. And at the same time, you should enjoy and eat as much as possible. So these things are more or less contradictory, and they produce all kinds of anxieties in the minds of people. And so many eating disorders have become prominent, something called bulimia and anorexia. I think bulimia is people, they eat as much, and then they throw up, so they don't gain weight. And anorexia, they just lose it after a while. They just lose all their appetites, so they can't eat anyhow. So these so-called beauty, so-called opulence, Prabhupada says opulence nowadays means that if you have some paper money, so if you have some paper, then you're considered to be very wealthy. Never mind, you can't get a good meal, your wife, or even your cook. I saw one time, even in those fancy restaurants in New York, they serve pre-cooked dinners. In other words, you pay hundreds of dollars for a pre-cooked dinner, which is more or less getting a fancy TV dinner that they just pop into the oven and they cook it for you in a few minutes. So even if you have so much paper money, you can't get a good meal. You can't have peace of mind. You don't know what your future is. All you do is have a lot of paper. And after World War I, in Germany, they decided to print up the money in order to pay off their debt. So the German government, they owed billions of Deutschmarks. So they thought, well, let us just print up Deutschmarks and pay them off, pay off our debt. So they printed up so much Deutschmarks that the Deutschmark wasn't worth anything. Of course, they paid off their debt, but that didn't mean anything. So in order to get a loaf of bread, people would have to go to their supermarket or their market with a barrel full of paper money. Here's our 10 billion Deutschmarks for a piece of bread. Well, the price just went up. It's twice as much as it was yesterday. So paper money, plastic, Prabhupada says nowadays, people think they're very opulent. So what do they have? And previously, they used to have golden plates. So the Brahmins, for instance, during a sacrifice, they'd eat off the golden plate, and then they'd just throw the golden plate away. So nowadays, at the big occasions, they eat off of paper plates or plastic plates. Once in a while, if you're really opulent, you get to eat off a china plate. I think china is made out of bones or something. Is that right? What's that? Oh, there's different types. But sometimes it's bone china, maybe stone. So sometimes you get to eat off a stone. And that's considered really opulent. Plastic's pretty good. And just, you know, most of the time it's something like paper plates. So people who consider they're very opulent, they drive around in a metal car, metal vehicle, puts out all kinds of smoke and exhaust, makes all kinds of noise, drives over a bumpy road, and they eat off of plastic or paper plates, plastic spoons, plastic knives, They have computers made out of plastic and metal, and they think this is a very opulent. And if someone says that this is not very important, this is not very opulent, so they're considered to be crazy. But the fact is, real opulence is transcendental intelligence, transcendental consciousness, because by such consciousness, one can transport himself from this temporary world of suffering and enter into a world of unlimited happiness. So that is actually value. This material world is compared to what has been pointed out as a virtual reality. The soul, he's actually not doing anything. He's simply observing, experiencing the material world and enjoying different types of suffering. So how you enjoy different types of suffering, you don't enjoy it, you just suffer. But this is his so-called enjoyment. But he has the opportunity, if he wants, by cultivation of spiritual knowledge, to transfer his consciousness from matter to spirit, and therefore end his suffering and go back to his original home, the spiritual world. Unfortunately, modern civilization is known as Atmahan, or soul-killing civilization, where the leaders of society try to divert people's attention from spiritual goals. They mislead, miseducate people in general so that they lose their interest in spiritual values and simply become interested only in material life. For instance, in Vrindavan, if one goes there, one can see from the material point of view, it's not a very pleasant place. I remember hearing a tape, Nectar of Devotion tape by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, or it was a conversation too, Prabhupada's lecture in 1966 in New York, and he's talking about Vrindavan, and one lady was saying, "I think you're feeling separation from Vrindavan." Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, Vrindavan is such a nice place. There are no cars there, not all this noise, not all this pollution." So if one goes to Vrindavan nowadays, you have these cars rushing down like they're on an 8-lane highway. And they're just on a path, you know, meant for some bullocks and a few, you know, donkeys. That the whole place is crowded with cars, and the sewage is everywhere. It's very hard to get good water there. Even the Bisleri water, which everyone buys, is nothing but tap water with some chemicals put into it. Everything is more or less degraded. Even the temples there are falling into the ground, many of them. So why is that? Prabhupada said, because especially the Indian government, they don't want to encourage anyone to take up spiritual life. They don't want to make any improvements in these holy places because then people might be attracted to spiritual life. And because they want to encourage people to work in the factories. Just like even when Prabhupada was there, they began to build factories in Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan area. Now if you go there, we went to Nandagram, and on the way you pass by so many factories, huge factories, polluting the air and polluting the Jamuna. The Jamuna is so polluted now because of all the different factories entering all their pollution into it. So they wanted to discourage the people from developing spiritual life. So the result is people become more and more bewildered by material desires. And for instance, in India, everywhere you go, there are movies. India is the biggest producer of movies in the world. And believe it, I don't know if anyone has ever seen an Indian movie. But believe it or not, people like it. Some places they like Indian movies. And what every single poster of an Indian movie, without exception, always has someone, there has to be some blood on it somewhere. Blood, you know, with a knife. It has to have at least one knife and a gun in it, or else it's not a genuine movie. And there's always some dancing girl. So this is the land of spirituality. I remember when I first saw an Indian lady at the United Nations. When I was younger, we went on a tour of the United Nations in New York, and I saw an Indian lady, and I thought that this must be a very exotic spiritual place. But nowadays, of course, there are places and personalities which are spiritual and exotic there. But the whole aim is to degrade it as quickly as possible, to make it as materialistic as possible. So that's India, that's the new crow, and the old crows, the European countries and the United States, they're simply pleasantly eating the garbage. But Krishna consciousness is meant to teach people how to become, to direct their lives to spiritual values. First of all, to convince people that there is a spiritual life. By logic and argument, by these books by Srila Prabhupada, by the example of the devotees, to convince people that there's such a thing as spiritual life. People don't believe that they are a spiritual being. Therefore, unless they understand that they're a spiritual being, where is there a question of spiritual life? And then the uselessness or the futility of working hard for sense gratification, especially vikarma, actively engaged in violating the laws of material nature. Or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, atma sambhavita stabda dhanamana madanvitaha jagnante jagna nama jagnaste dambena vidipurvaka. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by false prestige and wealth, they sometimes proudly perform sacrifices in name only without following any rules and regulations. So people think we can do anything in this material world, and as long as it produces money, then it's actually divine. So this is all due to being deluded by these bad qualities of self-complacency, false prestige, unnecessary dependence on wealth, etc. And the result is, Prabhupada said, that they'll destroy themselves. When Prabhupada came to Amsterdam in 1969 to do a record recording there, then at that time, they entered into one building, it didn't have any glass in it. So Prabhupada said, by the year 2000, people will simply be living underneath the ground. So, if you can get a house underneath the ground, you'll be considered very fortunate. A hole in the ground. So 2000 is not too far away. Because the result of such a civilization is assured that they'll destroy themselves. Because that's how the modes of material nature work. If one acts in ignorance, the result is simply suffering. And since they're gradually degrading from passion to ignorance, the result will be more and more suffering, inconceivable suffering. And here it recommends that, here it says that we shouldn't lament for such suffering, although we shouldn't become too joyful, but we shouldn't lament because we should see it's an arrangement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take away the false prestige, the wealth, that's being misused by the demons so that gradually they can come to their senses. Otherwise, we can see people can't take Krishna consciousness very seriously, sometimes even the devotees, because they think that what is the value? We have all our needs are met. We have a nice house. It's nice and warm in the winter. We have enough food. And we have so many nice television programs to watch. And if we get bored of that, we can drink alcohol. If we get bored of that, we can watch videos. So people think we have so many pastimes to do, to perform in this material world. All our needs are met. And we can go on with our sinful activities. And at the end of leaving this body, we'll just think of the Lord Jesus Christ and go to heaven. And therefore, what more do we need? So with such deluded consciousness, people are madly chewing the chewed, and the result is their destination is will not be very pleasant. Therefore, it's assured that Krishna will arrange it that their illusions will be dissipated and the reality of the material world will be revealed to them, as it's been periodically revealed in so many different wars in the past. And so it will be revealed to them either by the strong preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement, or if this movement is not sufficiently strong enough, by the arrangement of the material nature where their demons will smash each other. So on that happy note, we'll stop there. So thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. Well, the waters are being polluted. Mother Jamuna, I'm sure, is pure. I don't know if she's bathing in the waters anymore. But the people go in there, they very happily, they bathe in the Jamuna. You were in the Jamuna. What's that? Yeah, so people, it's still pure, the Jamuna. It's the impurities that which are not impure. Just like it says, Gangambayam Buddha-Buna Pena Pangar, that the Ganges is full of bubbles, foam, and mud, but still the Ganges is pure. So if you're bathing in the Ganges and bubbles, foam, and mud or a dead body come by, you just have to push out of the way. The Ganges and Jamuna are pure, but the impurities are not pure. I met one scientist in America one time, in Dallas, Indian scientist. He was telling me that, no, actually it was in Australia, in Melbourne. He was an Indian scientist. And he was doing research on the Ganges. And he was showing that the Ganges is such an amazing river, that things that put into it, like, in the Ganges, there are many, many factories emptying their chemicals into the Ganges. But by the power of the Ganges, these chemicals become purified. So he was had some research in proving that. So by the influence of the Jamuna, it becomes purified. But if too many impurities are put into it, then even the Jamuna will not be capable of purifying so rapidly these things. Even the Ganges was not willing to come down to the earth because she was complaining that so many impure people will bathe in me and contaminate me. So sometimes that may happen, that the contamination becomes too much. And therefore, although the Ganges is always pure, or the Jamuna is pure, still the impurities are not gotten rid of. Well, if you can chant Hare Krishna purely, bring down all the demigods in the spiritual world, then that's taking action. But of course, it would be, as far as taking action, it's good to do something. We have at least one devotee, he has some society for restoring Vrindavan, and he's trying to do something. So we should try and do something. At least pick up the dirt around the Krishna Balaram temple. You go there, see paper lying around. Even our own temple is not exactly clean. Especially the new properties we bought. And even we have a sewer problem there. Yeah, so first we should take care of our own place, set an example there, and then try and do someplace, They try to plant a few trees. Remember, they were doing reforestating Vrindavan, but now there's a bunch of dead trees that they... Well, we should try and do something. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.